Show me love. Show me love.
Hi guys, welcome back to another Just Play podcast with myself, Andy Akin, and the founder, the head honcho, Ryan Tricky. How are you, sir?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. You're very good. Are you enjoying the weather?
Love the weather. Although it's got a little bit kind of cloudier now, it's a bit kind of overcast. So, but no, I'm liking the brightness of the day.
I thought it was always sunny down south.
It is always sunny down south, mate. Should move down here.
Apart from when it rains. Yeah, we had a fair amount of rain. I don't know about you, but we had a fair amount of rain yesterday in Oxfordshire. It was, yeah, wet. And I've got to the point, I don't know whether this relates to you and other people listening. I've got to a point where I've actually done really well my tennis shoes because I don't obviously play as often and hit in as much as I should probably do. But I've made my tennis shoes, I reckon, last that. Asics ones, probably about a year now. However, I noticed for the first time the rain yesterday is actually seeping in through the top of my tennis shoe. So I think that is a notable time to change, which I've got shoes, but I am one of these people that literally, until there's a hole in the sole, I keep going. That's how I know I need to change. So I don't know whether you can relate to that or how often you change your tennis shoes.
Yeah, I probably don't go as far as, a hole in the soul. But I quite like that. I quite like that saying.
I'm on a budget. Hole in the soul.
Yeah, I don't, oh, I probably change. I think maybe grip underneath the shoe, actually. That's probably, so it nearly gets hold to the soul, but not quite there.
Yeah, not anybody's going to be able to see this, but I'm showing Ryan my current tennis shoe. So because there is a hole in that shoe, we still keep going. However, as you can probably tell by the insides, there's a lot of, let's say, fabric. Yeah, I think again, and you'll have to correct me if this is wrong. Technically, the inside of your shoe always goes before the outside, doesn't it? So in theory, you should change your shoes when the inside goes. So when you start to lose like the padding and cushioning, is that how you understand it?
I suppose it's each to their own, isn't it? But if your heel goes, I suppose it would be more discomfort and more kind of, blisters here, there, and everywhere, which obviously isn't great. Obviously, your grip on the bottom of your shoes is a big one as well. But I'd say that you can get away with that a little bit longer. So.
No, I'm really sorry. Whenever I start a pod, we always go off on a little bit of a spiel because obviously I'm not the head honcho, as mentioned. So I go defy the laws of the pod and I go wherever I want to go before you tell me off. But anyway, today's pod, guys, is going to be about coaching, which we've done one recently. However, this is Ryan and I deciding to structure worldwide tennis coaching and how you become qualified. So at the moment, if you are, say, in the UK, following the Lawn Tennis Association pathway, you go from level one to level five. That is the most generic one. There is RPT courses as well, which are used a little bit more within Europe. There will be USTA ones. And again, everyone has a similar crossover, but they're obviously all called very different things. Now, today, Ryan, you and I, blank canvas. I know you love these kind of pods. We are going to create, hopefully, the most practical yet most efficient way of climbing the coaching ladder. Now, we're doing this off of a whim. As mentioned on the pod before, we are very much unscripted. So we are going to try and keep this, I think, simple is better. Would you agree? We're not going to go 20 levels, but
no.
I think probably limiting it definitely to 3 to 5 is probably going to be where we're at. But we might have different things with regards to those levels, how you get qualified and also remain qualified and potentially get sort of reassessed. So before I hand over to you, in terms of your thoughts, my initial thoughts in terms of if you're starting your coaching journey, I think would be that we have, I think it's good that we're going to follow I would personally follow the UK version at the moment, which would be like your assistant or your leader within tennis. So you are somebody who is fairly young most of the time. That's not to say everybody is young when they do this course, but it is going to be somebody who I think for me needs to be qualified in being able to deliver a warm up and do that effectively and get players on court and get them warm within the first, depending on the length of the session, of course, 5 to 10 minutes. So, would you like to elaborate or potentially go against what I've said there?
Okay, so am I going from your level one, or you want me to go
You,
from.
well, it's sort of level one. This is our starting journey, so I am still calling this. So for me, this in my eyes, you can reword it if you want to, because obviously we're going to have different thoughts on this. This is still tennis assistant slash leader.
Yeah, okay. So I think I quite still quite like the assistant side, the assistant name. I probably keep the same, assistant tennis coach label, with it possibly an idea for more responsibility in this than they maybe have already. So, in the today's game, let's say you have to be a level two to get teach beginners, for example. But I think, obviously it gets to a point where I get why they do that. So in retrospect, I wouldn't maybe have two levels of assistants. I'd just have my assistant tennis coach, and then that coach would be trained longer so that they could go straight in and teach beginner level players at an adult age. Or adult age, let's say, and then juniors, I would say they would be doing your youth tennis and teaching your beginner kids. So it's really a beginner level starter assistant coach qualification.
And are we saying within, are you saying within this qualification that this person, obviously again referencing beginner level, is able to work regardless of age, or is there a cap on age that they can work independently with a group? Yeah, how do you see that in your eyes?
I would say, I think 16's fine. I think that would be perfectly fine because there are different levels of tennis player, and there's going to be, as we say, there might be better level fours and weaker level fours. So I think 16's a good age. It gives our younger kids who are our, going to be growing the game in the future, a chance to get straight on the ladder, so to speak, and make their job from the get-go more appealing, with more responsibility. They get more hours as well, I would say. So if they're kind of youngsters wanting to make a bit of money behind them, get them ready to, buying their first car, that type of stuff, they need money behind them. So I would say, yeah, 16 onwards, and I would say that they can, if your head coach feels, or your lead coach above you thinks that that's okay.
And that's the bit I was going to come on to. So I guess this is a bit of like a criteria checklist in our minds, but obviously I'm going to ask you first. So for this level one, beginner, starter, whatever you want to call it, in terms of that introduction to coaching and becoming, I guess, are you're calling this person a coach or not at the moment? Because they're potentially leading sessions.
This person will be an assistant coach
An assistant coach, okay,
as it
but with the
stands at the
KP.
moment.
Okay, and for them to be up to the, I guess, in your minds, the ceiling of being an assistant coach. So let's call that 100% qualified and capable. How much experience do they need? How many contact days in terms of like the qualification should it be in your mind? So again, I'll answer with my answer just while you're having a little thought. So I think based on what you just said there and what I would interpret, I would imagine this to be a minimum of a 6 month course, with contact days probably once a month, and this is with a tutor. And then for that to obviously have X amount of experience in the middle, but for it to be signed off at the end, obviously with a, an assessment, but also by the coach who's been monitoring you to also put you forward to say, actually, yes, you are ready for this, rather than you do the course, you get to the end of it, you do your assessment, because actually during the experience days with the coach at your club or whoever you're doing it with, they might feel like actually you need maybe a further 6 months, and there may be like a deference scheme. So That would be my opinion. If that person doesn't feel, let's take it to maybe quite an inexperienced 16, 17-year-old, possibly they're going to need a little bit more time on court and a little bit more confidence in terms of communication, whereas opposed to like maybe a 25-year-old doing this course, that they might have spent quite a lot of time on court and they might just be used to speaking to adults a bit more, so actually they might be ready to take this course. So I would say, yeah, for me, 6 months minimum, but it needs to be signed off by a coach before going to that sort of assessment stage. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, I quite like the with our current coaching idea. And obviously, if we want to get volume of coaches coming through as well, I think there should be a group kind of meetup. So as you would do, go to, let's say Southampton in this case, and you have 40 coaches that want to become new, and and on the ladder, so to speak. I would say there maybe has to be a prerequisite before. Maybe your first day. So maybe there's certain requirements you have to be as a tennis player to be able to go and join and become a coach.
Well, this is your course, so sorry to interrupt. This is your course, and you're designing it. So, what? Give me maybe one or two of those prerequisites. Obviously, you're saying about it, so.
I say that obviously we need to establish quality first off. So, but alternate, the same thinking, we've got to try and draw in more people to become coaches as well. So not too hard, but certainly from my first level, I'm thinking these guys would meet, I would say maybe 6 months. I'd probably go possibly 6 to 8 days of meets, and that's drawn over a 3 or 4 month period. And those 2 days is basically going back to your tutor and your group setting and showing off your skills along with the group as it currently stands. I think that's quite a good format. It's quite social, quite fun. But the prerequisites going into before you get into it is that I think you need to have obviously your first aid, your safeguarding. You need to have your maybe a WTN rating. That might be of a certain level, because if your playing standard is of a certain level, then hopefully you're going to be drawing. Now, it will be lower because it's obviously the starter thing, but that's maybe how I would go about it. So, to encourage more people to play a few competitions, get the ratings up, get the playing standard ready for a level one. And then, if we're going as far as content, it would be quality of feeding, quality of knowledge, so that you can demonstrate the basics of tennis, going from ready position, obviously ready positions, your shots, general like basic tactics, and then obviously skills and drills are re relating around it.
Yes. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah, because obviously you were referring to actually, well, the takeaways I take from that is you're referring to actually slightly less time for the course, 3 to 4 months, but 6 to 8 meetups. Whereas I was referring to actually 6 meetups for 6 months. So mine was more about, I guess, experience, getting more experience away from the actual tutor, and obviously trying to get that and then signed off. And yours was actually more contact days as a part of a team. A bit more ideas I've got, I guess, from that. I've interpreted that, if I've interpreted that correctly. So, yeah, interesting to see how you and I are sort of just slightly aligned, but also slightly differing in terms of obviously that starting point. So this person is now, let's say, they've become a successful assistant coach. Congratulations to them, and they want to move on to being what we define now as a coach. Is that what we're saying? Or have they got a little tagline as opposed to them? Are they a beginner coach, or they are a professional coach but want to be a super professional coach as the next level? I mean, how do you define this next level? Because that could be quite a tricky bit.
All these labels, aren't they? Kind of what you
Yeah.
call people. You're definitely, coaching on, and able to coach on an individual basis now, for sure. I would say coach, I haven't really, maybe development coach, because I don't think at this stage you're going to be quite good, but you're not a master of your trade. You're kind of at your club level area where you've got varying intermediates, improvers, that kind of level. So you're at a point where you've been doing in my view anyway, you've been doing beginner lessons now, so we need to up the ante in terms of quality knowledge, upgrading the skill set of the forehand, the backhand, the volleys, the serves, that kind of knowledge now. So that would mean taking a longer period of time, and I think this one would be the main one, so to speak, because obviously this is maybe where I'd be saying, right, you can do individual lessons, that type of thing. So I'd be kind of maybe doubling up on my time frame as well, because
Sorry to jump in. I was just going to sort of, I guess, sort of differentiate the two now. We're going from something that becomes like a very much almost a career, being that assistant coach, but helping out at the moment. So now this is your career, your profession sort of course. This is what you're going to do full time, I guess. So I guess, sorry to jump in. I guess for me, it's going to be like we did probably when we did our what was called the DCA at the time, which is the level three. It's very much now going to be technical, how to set up a bit more, maybe a structured session, a bit more advanced. But that's probably done in the assistant coach course we've probably done previously as well. And obviously, sort of maybe just handling numbers. There might be also a bit of a professionalism side to this in terms of managing a business and managing committees, which actually. Probably when I think back at my time, and you may agree or disagree, actually, you probably need a little bit more help with, and people sort of associate. I don't remember really doing too much of a CPD when I was 19 years old, going, actually, oh, this is how I'm going to communicate to a chairman of a club or a stakeholder, and actually, how does that come about? So maybe this becomes, not to say a degree, I don't want to put people off, but I think we're starting to get that way, aren't we?
yeah, it's almost like a not necessarily a BTEC, so to speak. It would be hard to kind of, sort of call it something that it would be in the education system. I think you're right. Yeah, I think we've just got to, this is the point where they are now effectively allowed to run their club. I think the difference being, I wouldn't maybe have so many. I'm just going to jump forward a bit that we wouldn't have so many. I wouldn't have so many levels. I know why they've done it in the in the England, UK system, but I would say like a more compact system but more quality, and then I would have a bit like, when you do a driving license and you get older, and then obviously as you're getting older you might get a little bit complacent. So I'd have the kind of, as you alluded to in the first level, let's say rather than CPD, I'd also have like a taster, or not an exam but like a skill check, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I quite like that. Well, yeah, again, you're either going to agree or disagree with, or agree with me. So I was going to come on to sort of, I think this now needs to be a minimum of a year course, but I think at a sort of at a 6 month stage, I think of the TV program SAS, Who Dares Wins, on Channel 4 in the UK. There was basically a period like, all the people would get assessed and they're being assessed on what they're doing. So I think there needs to be like a halfway point for me on this tennis coach course, whatever it may be called, that sort of the tutors and maybe the coach that you're doing the experience with sort of say, yeah, look, you're looking good, you're on the right path and continue. Or there might be a case of actually the tutors go, look, you're falling behind a little bit on coursework, we don't feel like you're quite there yet. And possibly this course now goes, right, you're on the trajectory to have your assessment at the 12 month 1 year, and potentially there's another strand for me in this course. Actually, it could take you 18 months, so I wouldn't necessarily say on this course for me there is a right, it's 12 months, it is 12 months if you're doing well, or it's 18 months if you are going to need a bit more experience. And then I guess getting towards the end of the course, regardless, and this is where I'll ask for your input, is there's going to be again an assessment or an exam. And I think that obviously needs to be, for me, tough as I am, as you can probably tell as everyone's listening, there needs to be an exam process. Now, that exam process I would like to be, or assessment process, to be at the venue that you teach. So the tutor comes to watch you actually in your setting. It also needs to be done like when we did our level four, you are put on the spot with a group you don't know, and you get some sort of subject or tactical guidance that you've got to sort of deliver 30 minutes before that session. And maybe there's got to be like a written exam in terms of like tennis knowledge and tennis rules and some of the technical terms and that possibly has to be. So I'd be like, again, this is for me, your profession, you've got to be good at it, and if you're going to deliver to people, it's got to be very professional. So yeah, I'd be a little bit strict in certainly the assessment. I don't know how you differ to that, or you're the same.
Yeah, no, I think you're sort of hitting the nail on the head, so to speak. I think, yeah, it does. It's all about quality, isn't it? If we're going to make the courses shorter, in terms of, not as many qualifications, I think we definitely need to make sure quality is up. Definitely think the only thing I'd say is, obviously, as we're saying this, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, how'd that work with like costs of, your tutors and obviously the teaching side of it? Because if you're going 12 months to 18 months, you've got to then factor in like the extra, costs that of having the tutor, and would that cost stay the same? So I suppose we're generally talking in an ideal world without actually factoring in costs, what we would do, wouldn't we? So yeah, I think, yeah, there definitely needs to be a lot of, I would say it doesn't have to be necessarily down to a little bit like hazard perception, multiple answer questions, so to speak, so to give people a chance to kind of think, because obviously people don't like exams. Makes it a bit lighter hearted and not too much pressure on them. But ultimately, like I say, we're looking for quality.
And I think probably, yeah, from there on in, you obviously pass or not pass. Again, it goes without saying, you got your safeguard and your first aid. I think for us then, it's going to be maybe every couple of, well, anything from 2 to 5 years, you possibly come in for a day at a local regional centre and you have some sort of like reassessment process, be fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's just making sure that you're up to scratch, and if you're not, then you'd be up for reassessment.
Up for reassessment and maybe doing 6 months of the previous course again, possibly, and possibly just put on the, not to say the straight and narrow, sounds like you're going to Alcoholics Anonymous, sorry, I can't say that very well, but yeah, it's essentially you are put back on a professional course whereby you need to ensure that happens. And I think from then on in, it would be for me maybe a strand where you're looking at possibly there's maybe one more where you're looking to be working with professional tennis players, possibly. Maybe there just needs to be a little bit more in-depth knowledge, but following the same kind of structure, would you say? Or does it stop at
Yeah,
two?
I think I'd still have a third at this stage. I mean, obviously, I know you could. It depends how far we go into depth with the second one, really. I think you become a master maybe at this point, but not maybe a professional. So you'd be a master at club level, or a master at working with a certain level of player. And then my fourth would probably be just a purely professional.
Yeah,
So.
or maybe as you sort of rightly said there, actually, I've just had a not an epiphany, but you are, everyone is a coach, but then everyone has, maybe you do like blocks of 3 months and you can do specific courses in like SEN coaching or working with 14 and under performance coaches, and you can become like qualified in different areas, but you still need to pass like courses in that possibly. And maybe each course, you're working with a tour professional, maybe that's a year's course, and you can have all these as like add-ons, I guess, is potentially there. So okay, well, I think we've revolutionized the system and everyone's going to sign up to our courses.
Well, I think we've definitely chewed the fat on this one for sure.
Good Matt, I love that.
There's definitely going to be some differing comments in people's minds, no doubt. But that's us, we're just off the cuff, so to speak.
That is us. Right, Ryan, pleasure as always. I'm going to go and put on my 2-year-old tennis shoes and off to tennis court. I'll speak to you very soon.
Same, same. See you soon.
Take
Thanks,
care,
Simon.
guys.
Show me love. Show me love.